Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Good morning to all of you, and welcome to everybody. As you may or may not have known, we just got done with our very first show that's called Swap Shop Phoenix, and it's going to be just before our car show, and we're not going to talk about cars the first hour of our swap, but we're learning things as we go along, so the rules are in flux right now. What we do know for sure, and we just had Ed Phillips on, so we do know for sure that we're not doing porn. That's something. Ed made it very clear that we're not going to do that. So, but we're also concerned that, and we did 11 callers last hour, which we're blessed. I mean, in every way, shape, or form, we were blessed with 11 callers. But we can't let it, according to Ed, and I see the point here, we can't let it get to just a real estate show or just a car show or just a this kind of show. We want to blend. So we're going to kind of eliminate stuff. We're thinking about cars, but we're thinking about just classic cars and not other cars. Or we're thinking about putting a dollar value on that because we're kind of copying, and we've done some research on other places, other shows like this throughout the United States. So we're just kind of figuring out how we fit. And like I said, the rules are going to be in flux, and we're going to just do the best we can. But in today's show, everybody had something different. We had them from all over the valley. We had 602 interchanges, 480 interchanges, 6230 interchanges. And I think, right now, we're not sure, but mm-hmm. I think we're going to post some of this on the KKNT website.
Yeah, I think that's what the plan was. So I've got everything written down, and hopefully we'll be able to get it on. And I'm not sure how that's going to work this first week, but it's going to stay up there. We're talking about maybe 30 days. So it's kind of all in the planning stages right now, but we'll let you guys know next week, I'm sure.
If we can pull that off, then our intention is that people might decide they need a refrigerator.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they go to KKNT.com and then mm-hmm. they determine that, that's exactly a place that we can find some. But anyway, we think the prices were really fair today. They had our attention. Yeah. So nevertheless, this is a car show. From now until noon, we're talking about cars, 602-508-0960. If you got a car problem, if you and your wife are arguing about what car to buy, if you're looking at a car, what should I do? How should I have it checked out? Mark, what do you think about the dependability of this car and stuff like that? So when it comes to cars, I probably do a little better on that than I did on Phoenix Swap Shop first time around.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, we did laugh a lot. And
it was fun. Hope you guys can join us next week. And if you have something to sell, everybody has something to sell, I think, or swap or trade or give away.
But Ed made it clear that I'm not allowed to buy things.
There you go.
Because, I was more worried about you because, and our daughter Andy and then our daughter-in-law Heather, you guys are well known for visiting Goodwill stores and garage sales and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, nevertheless, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing since 1970. In Mesa, Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing has been around. They're in their second generation now. They have ASE certified technicians. Brian and Thelma are the owners. They're the ones that run it. And I've said it 100 times before. You only need to shake the hands of Brian or his wife Thelma to know that they are the salt of the earth and they're someone that you can trust every minute of every day. So if you live anywhere in Mesa, the drive to Main Street and Stapley, just east on the south side of the road, Main Street and Stapley, to visit Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is well worth it. He's the only shop in Mesa that's been able to pass the muster and the rules and the requirements that the best car repair shops in Phoenix has. And, of course, that's the one I manage and handle. But they're the only shop in Mesa that's been able to pull that off. Let's see. We already got a caller here. Let me pull that up real quick. Rick, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. Hey, I've got a 2002 4Runner, and I had a new set of tires put on. And we're trying to get the best of them, save the best of the old ones for the spare underneath. And just came to find out that on my little kit for the to lower the spare tire, I have only one piece of the three-piece tool set. And I was just wondering, looks like I might... I know the dealership has it, but it was quite expensive. I looked online, and I'm just wondering, is there a way to narrow it down to recycling centers for Toyotas?
Oh yeah. You're probably missing the long piece that goes through the hole in the back of the vehicle that unwinds the little winch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I think all you really need is an O2 4Runner. Now, you can call another dealership, and you can say something. This is how I would handle it. And it's not anything that's, you know, I'm ashamed of. I'd call the dealer and I'd say, you know, my dad's got a 4Runner, and I think it's an early 2000. I'm not really sure, but he lost that big, long rod. I think it's got a crank on the end of it to drop his spare down. First of all, do you have it? Second of all, would you give me the part number? And third, tell me what years that kind of covers. And let's assume that he's going to be in the 2000 to 2005 range. What you're mm-hmm. looking for is them to say, oh, that rod goes from 2000 to 2012. And you say, okay, well, what I want to do is I want to give my dad the part number and blah, blah, blah. Now, with the part number, you can Google the part number and find it and buy it wherever you want it. Now, you can also go on the internet and just, you know, a dealer or an OEM parts listing, and you can probably find it there as well and get the OEM part number and then Google that. That's exactly how I would handle it. Now, what part of town do you live in?
Peoria.
Okay. I'm not real familiar if there's any wrecking yards. I think you're going to have to come down towards Buckeye. Broadway, Buckeye, mm-hmm. east, west of 19th Avenue seems to me where the big ones are. American mm-hmm. Auto Wrecking over on Baseline Road in Mesa is the one that I patronize. I like them because they are the gurus when it comes to tires and wheels and hubcaps and, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. They're just wheel experts, and as a result of that, then yours dovetails nicely. Now, last bit of information is take the car with you, and if you're going to buy mm-hmm. it from a wrecking yard, just walk out in the parking lot and just make sure it unwinds, and I'll tell you why. There's lots of people that have learned, including my staff, that you cannot use an air gun on that rod because the cable that's in that little winch assembly is so fragile that you'll break it and you'll tie it up in knots using an air gun. So let's just make sure that will drop your spare and raise it up. So you stick it in there, you drop the spare down 2 or 3 inches, you tighten it back up, bingo, buy it, and then you're home free. But let's test it before, because here's the deal. If it doesn't drop or that cable's all wound up and bound up, then you might as well buy the little winch that goes along with it while you're there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. 602.
Steve is your next caller.
602-508-0960. The lines are wide open except for Steve. I'm going to take him right now. That means there's four available. 602-508-0960. Steve, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. My daughter has a 2007 Toyota Lexus 350.
Okay.
And the yellow check engine light came on that said traction stabilization on or off or something. And it's the button where if you want to get out of the snow, you can release something.
Okay.
You know, okay. And hitting the button to reverse it didn't help. So I Googled that code for that car, and it said, you know, they gave a thing, disconnect the battery for 20 minutes, restart it. And it worked. The yellow check engine light was no longer on, but now it came on again.
Okay. All right. Let me just kind of brief everybody about this. When you disconnect a battery cable, it's kind of like rebooting your computer. So we're taking everything in RAM and everything everywhere on the top of the table, and we're wiping it clean. That's the reason why it took a while for that light to come back on. Now, here's the key. The button, look in your owner's manual, but I think you have to sit on that button for 3 seconds. I could be wrong, but I think you have to sit on that. When the traction control button, it shouldn't be a yellow light. When you push it, it should say traction control off, and then when you push it, that should go away. Now, the traction control is also in the Corvette that my wife drives, and if you push the button and take traction control off, then she can spin the tires as she leaves the traffic light on her way to the Nordstrom's. Or to Goodwill, whatever it is. So the idea is that's a common button. I'm going to guess, and this is where I get my underwear all wadded up, not with you, but everybody goes to YouTube and thinks that that's going to fix their car. You're spending your money based on somebody's guess that could very well be a veterinarian or be somebody that knows nothing about cars who's going to build a YouTube and tell you how to spend your money. And they are wrong 99% of the time.
Right.
I think what you've probably got, educated guess here, is you've got one of the four-wheel sensors that's bad. Now, when the computer loses control of the spinning wheels, a spinning wheel, it's completely confused. Now, the first thing it's going to do is it's going to look at the ABS and goes, hey, are you got that wheel locked up? Then it's going to look at the programming and go, well, of course not.
2 minutes.
We would be dragging that tire at 70 miles an hour, so it's not locked up. So the ABS locks and unlocks the tire during heavy braking. So it's just lost control of one of the speed sensors. You're going to spend between $50 and $150 having a diagnostic fix, and it could be $100 to find it and 50 cents to fix it. I don't know. I'm just leaving that door open, but don't count on that. We're going to hook up a scanner, not a code reader, but a scanner that costs Mark Salem $8,000 to $10,000. I'm going to look at what we call serial stream data, and I'm going to be looking at all four-wheel sensors. Now, I can drive down the road straight, and they're all alive, but I know better than that. So I'm going to pull in behind the Bashus grocery store, and I'm going to do some really fast right turns with the steering wheel all the way to the right. Then I'm going to do slow left turns, and then slow right turns and fast left turns. So I'm going to, because when you do circles, then the inner tires have a different circumference and a different speed than the outer tires because the arc is bigger. And I'm going to figure this out in a heartbeat. Maybe. Sometimes you just have to go in and ohm them all out. But there's a variety of things that can happen, but that's probably what you're up against. I don't think it's going to be the button. I think the fact that it came back didn't surprise me because we didn't do anything but clean the top of the table. So I think really and truly, how many miles on it? Do you have any idea how many miles, Steve?
50,000.
Okay, that's kind of early, but it's an 07, so it's 10 years old.
Right.
Has it had any brake work or tire rotations that are kind of timed around this problem?
No.
Okay. Sometimes, and I'm not going to blame it on anybody but my own guys, every once in a while we'll damage one of those sensors. Every once in a while we'll forget to plug in one of those sensors. Every once in a while we'll get too much fuzz on one of those sensors and we didn't blow it off with an air gun. So there's times that Mark Salem has problems with my staff. We make mistakes. That's a nice way in saying other people's do the same thing. So.
Perfect.
That's how I'd handle it. Do you have a garage that you
use? Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. I'm closer to Kurtz, but I could take it to you as well.
Oh, no, Kurtz. I want you to go to Kurtz.
Okay, they would have that $10,000 device thing that
you
have to
go. Oh, yeah, and all of us have more than one. I mean, I've got from Mercedes, Chevy, Dodge, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, and Kurtz does too. But have you ever done business with Kurtz?
I met him when you were there doing your show.
Okay. All right. So you can go up to Jeff or Eric and just say Mark Salem says you guys don't know your butt from, you know, a sunflower seed. But I'm willing to give you a try. And all that does is see how you laughed? They're going to laugh.
Right.
But it's going to put a little pressure on them because you're telling them in a really nice way that they're a referral. But I'm going to promise you one thing, and I always throw this out there. I don't make a dime out of your referral. And if they called me and said, we want to pay you, I would refuse. So I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it because I'm proud of our industry and I'm proud of the good guys. So Kurtz would be my spot for you. All right?
Okay, so if it comes on when my daughter's driving, is that a problem right now while she's driving around the neighborhood?
Great question. One dad to the other, here's the answer. A red light means stop now, honey. Okay? You have to impress upon that. Stop now. Quickly as you can, stop. Red oil, red overheat, red ABS light, red brake light. We need to get... Yellow means, at your convenience, stop by. Now, when it's on, it just means that the traction control is disabled. So if she goes around a corner on her way to the grocery store really, really fast and she breaks loose one of those front or rear tires, traction control isn't going to straighten her butt up. She's going to be sideways through that intersection. And if she doesn't drive that way, then there is no harm, no foul. But yellow and red are completely two different lights. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You bet. And when we come back, we're going to take your call, 602-508-0960. I think the lines are wide open.
At least we
have five, and we may have one call in queue, but then that means that we have four. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem and Renee Salem sitting here at your service, 23 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're going to go till noon. If you have a car question, a car problem, if you want to discuss a particular problem on your car, then I think we're in pretty good shape to be able to pull that off for you. All you have to do is give us a call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Let me tell you about Automatic Transmission Exchange real quick before we take Jerry and David. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been working on transmissions in the Phoenix area since 1968. Phil is on 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. He's been there for a very, very long time. Phil and his staff are diagnostic experts when it comes to transmission. They can do repairs. They can do complete replacements. They can do new replacements, or they can rebuild your unit. But they're here, and they want to say that only one out of every five customers that comes in needs an overhaul. Many of them can be repaired by fixing a particular problem. And there's lots of inputs to your transmission, so that means if one input is bad, for instance, if you lose the speed sensor, the shift pattern will go crazy. The idea is fix the speed sensor and the shift pattern comes back. So Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, good place to go for those of you in Phoenix. Alrighty, Jerry, good morning to you. Thanks for holding. How can I help you?
Oh, well, thanks for the earlier show, Mark. The swap meet show, that was very entertaining.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I've got a 2009 Dodge Durango. It has 143,000 miles on it, and it seems like I'm having an oil consistent consumption problem, but it's not consistent. I have no leaks. I mean, it parks in the garage floor. The garage floor is bone dry, so it's got to be consuming it. And I'm not sure where to go from here.
Okay. Let me ask you a couple questions. When you say consuming it, give me some kind of a, over this many miles, and the add mark, I want you to know, the add mark is one quart low. So give me some kind of an idea of where you're at.
Well, I've had it where I've got 556 miles that I needed to add fluid to it. I've gone 800 miles and needed to add a quart to it. And the last one, I went 263 miles, and I had it at a quart.
Okay. That's the information I needed. If you were to pull the spark plugs on that, you would clearly see where the problem is going to be. Because, like you said, it has to be going out of the tailpipe. And so if it's going out of the tailpipe, you're going to have a problem in probably one cylinder. Now, it could very well be that we've got a leak on the intake manifold, on the bottom of the intake manifold, and we're sucking oil out of the engine because the intake manifold gasket's bad. Us old gray-haired guys know how to test that, but the younger kids, they don't. They don't know. So I'd pull the spark plugs first. Now, once you find the spark plug that looks so much different than the rest, that's your area of concern. So it could be your rings or something like that. So next thing we do is while we have the spark plug out, we're going to do a wet-dry compression test. So we stick the compression gauge in the spark plug hole. We hold the throttle wide open. We disable the fuel system or the spark. And we crank it over the same amount of time each time. Each time. So you run it that way, and you look at the compression gauge, and it says 80. So then you squirt some oil in there. You crank it over with your thumb over the hole. Then you put the compression gauge back in there, and all of a sudden it goes from 80 to 120. Ah, we got some rings. So now maybe we use a chemical because maybe we've got some rings that are stuck, and maybe we can clean those up. Maybe we can, if they're stuck inside the ring lands of the pistons, it's probably because of carbon. So what can we put in there to loosen that carbon up? There's a lot of chemicals we can use. Or the spark plugs are all spotless. That means we're aspirating oil from somewhere else, like I said, the intake manifold.
Okay.
So any good gray-haired guy is going to be able to know how to do that. I'll tell you real quick, but you don't pass this on, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to take duct tape and plug off all the holes in the engine, the oil filler cap, the PCV valve, anything. And there's also a clean air intake, and then the PCV valve is the outtake. So I'm going to cover up all the holes in the engine with layers of duct tape. And I'm going to put a vacuum gauge on the dipstick tube. So I take the dipstick out and put a vacuum gauge on the dipstick tube. I'm going to start it up. The engine's going to have 16 to 18 inches of vacuum. And if you have anything more than 2 or 3 inches of vacuum, you're probably going to have 10 or 12 or 15. Then, I know where it's at. So it's going to be the intake. So don't pull the intake off for fun, because that's only one out of every 20 oil consumption tests that we end up with. So the odds are pretty slim, but That's how I test it. And that process is probably
2 minutes.
Somewhere, depending on their labor rate, between $95 and $145 for the testing process. But you can tell by yourself, just pull the plugs and look at them. All righty?
Okay.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much. David, what's up with you?
Well, you were saying about you weren't familiar with any junkyards in the West, and I wanted to point out one.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you have to keep in mind, I really wasn't in the area looking for junkyards, so I don't remember the name of it. I do remember where I was. I was on Northern Avenue, west of 67th Avenue. I was going to that cemetery there to visit the headstone, you know?
Yeah.
And I saw it on the south side of the street there on Northern, west of 67th Avenue.
Okay, perfect.
It was pretty sizable, so, you know, I saw a variety of different things in it.
Okay.
Big vehicles, medium-sized vehicles.
Okay. And what we were talking about is that
it was Rick, I think.
It was our first caller, Rick.
Yeah.
And I told him he had to come down to Buckeye Broadway west of 19th Avenue. So if Rick is still listening, then David saw a nice wrecking yard at Northern west of 67th Avenue on the south side of the road.
Yep.
And you know what, David? Thank you very much for that.
Yeah,
thank you for helping
problem.
Us out. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love your show, and I was listening earlier, too. That was great.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. We were talking about the swap meet show that we're on from 9 to 10 every morning. We were hoping we weren't going to talk to ourselves for an hour,
yeah.
And we were blessed with 11 phone calls. We had Ed Phillips here, who was the original swap shop guy at another radio station in town, and so we invited him to be here, and he was a tremendous asset, and we're asking him for guidance, and he was more than happy to give us good advice and back it up with some kind of data as well. So one of the things he says is you don't want to do pets because it'll turn into a pet show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. See, what, 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, we've got one line is taken, and we've got four open. So if you have a car question or car problem, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Bill, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Mark. I'm considering buying a BMW, probably a 16 328i. I just wonder if you have any suggestions or recommendations.
You know, I do like the BMW line. I'm not a fan of those really expensive cars. I think that it's not like you can buy parts for that BMW at the local auto parts store. There is a big warehouse here in town that we do buy lots of imports, but it's not available to the public. It's called a WD Warehouse Direct, so you have to have a resale license, and you have to be a guy like me that owns a shop. Is this going to be a private party sale or a used car sale at the dealer?
It would be a car sale from the dealer, probably a certified vehicle.
Okay. And the certified bothers me because certified is in the eyes of the beholder. Do you know who's going to service this vehicle?
It would probably be back at the dealer I bought it from.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I would still spend the money. And I think ours is 125. It's a used car checkover.
Mm-hmm.
A lady brought a car in a while back, and we gave her a used car checkover. And we wrote that car for immediate. Now, this is stuff now. This isn't stuff in the future. It needs it now.
Uh-huh.
And we wrote that sheet for, I don't remember, we gave her a bunch of stuff that it needed now, and we charged her $125, and she was able to get all of that work done, and I think it was $600 or $700 of the work for free, and negotiate the price downward. She said it was the best $125 she's ever spent. Now, we're not the only guys in town that do these, but what you're looking for is a used car checkover. And what part of town do you live in?
I'm in Sunset West.
Okay. I think I would call Tom over at Thunderbird Auto,
yeah,
and I would just say to him, are you comfortable with doing a used car checkover before I buy it? It's a pre-purchase inspection. How much is it? Or would you send me to a BMW shop that I'm not aware of around Hugh? He's at 88th and Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would handle it. I can tell you, not too long ago we had a used car checkover that had some mismatched tires. It had some real shoddy exhaust work done to it. It was functionable, but it wasn't anything that I cared for. We found some fluids that looked a little dirty. and the car was a high enough mileage where they shouldn't have. And then you always want to do a Carfax. Don't even think about it till you use Carfax and run the VIN. Carfaxes are kind of hard to read sometimes because they pay for my work orders. Now, I'm not willing to sell that information to them, but they would pay me for it.
Uh-huh.
But it'll say it had a dealer stop here or it had an independent shop stop here. And they may say it had air conditioning work, but in reality it wasn't air conditioning work, and they didn't know how to decode that guy's codes. So because it started with A, it could be automatic transmissions or air conditioning. So they thought the code, because it was A, was air conditioning, when really it was a transmission. So, but Carfax will tell you how many owners it has. Carfax will tell you about all the emissions test and how many stopping points it had by mileage, and that's all very beneficial. So mm-hmm. I would do a Carfax, and then I would also go to KBB.com, and I would look at the private party sale as if you owned this 328i and you were selling it.
Understand.
And
2 minutes.
And then there's, you can also click on the speedometer kind of thing. You can also click private party sale, and then you can do retail. But even more important, you can do trade-in. So
okay.
you're going to kind of know what they traded. Now, there's another one. What's that other one? Somebody corrected me the other day.
I don't know. The one thing I was thinking, too, on these is that they have those package deals. You know, you need an A service or B service. It's BMW and Mercedes.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get pretty expensive. I don't know if all of that needs to be done every single time. So
and you're,
I've heard that. Yeah. It's really expensive. It's dealers.
Yep,
yeah,
you're exactly right. It's expensive all over town. There's just a relationship between the dealer and his cost of infrastructure, his overhead, versus some guy that's got a 10,000 square foot shop that doesn't have, you know, $80,000 a month in overhead.
So yeah, they just make you feel like you need every single thing, and they're really,
you're
doing services before they really need to sometimes.
And so. I think it's just a matter of why do I need this?
Yes.
And give me looking at the odometer is not good enough. That's in my word. I use this phrase. That's called odometer surfing. So basically, okay. They look at your odometer, and then they put everything together based on your odometer reading. And they don't ask you for your previous maintenance records because, in fact, 6 months before this, you may have had a water pump fail. Now you've got new coolant in it. But because you're at this stopping point, you need a cooling system flush. And you go, come on, didn't you take the cap off the radiator? Couldn't you see brand new coolant on that? So I do like the BMW line, but... when I come back, I'm going to tell you a horror story that I just ran across not too long ago. And it's about BMWs. I don't know where it's going to go from here, but it is a concern of a lot of us. So when I come, and it has nothing to do with your 328i, by the way. It has nothing to do with yours. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960. You're welcome to join us. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody, for 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're going to be here till 12. So if you have a car question, the lines are wide open. There's five of them, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we've had calls with respect to oil usage, and we've had a traction control problem. We've had a Durango that's using a little bit of oil. And then we have a BMW. Should I buy a BMW? I guess I'll tell them the BMW story first, and then I've got to get to S&S. The story goes like this. There's a lady in a very upscale BMW in California, and she's on a 7-lane freeway, thereabouts, and the traffic comes to a stop, and in this process she gets rear-ended by somebody, and then that person leaves the scene. So the lady's in the middle of these 7 lanes, plus or minus. When the car is involved in the accident, then the BMW comes on the entertainment system and says, "Hey, Mark Salem, are you okay? What happened? Do you need help? Do you need ambulances? Do you need this or whatever?" This conversation then evidently, I'm told, goes to, the lady says, I need to get my car off the road. It won't start. Help me, help me, help me. I'm really scared. I'm in the middle of the road. Whatever, whatever. But she is saying the car won't start. That's the end result. So she's in the middle of this road. I don't know if traffic moves ahead of her or whatever, but nevertheless, a limousine hits her at the back at, they estimate, 70 miles an hour and kills her. Now, Come to find out, there is an explosive device on the positive battery cable of this high-end BMW. And when the car's airbags deploy or some other indication of an accident, they're going to blow the positive cable off this and eliminate the possibility of fire, is what I'm guessing. I think all the experts that are involved in this are kind of guessing that's the reason. However, it prevented this lady from starting her car and getting it off the roadway. So there's a problem there, and most of you that drive BMWs don't know that's a problem. But when I call paint and body shops, I say, have you guys heard of this? And everybody had. They said, Mark, it's not uncommon for a car to come in here, a BMW, and we do lots of paint and body work to it, and we go to start it up and move it, and it won't start. So then we have to send it somewhere because we're paint and body guys, and we don't know that. And they ended up replacing this positive battery cable along with this explosive device, and then the car starts and runs. I understand the reason behind it, but I also understand that a lot of police officers are not happy about this because they need the ability on a wreck that doesn't completely disable the car to get the car off the road. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to steer the car. They want to be able to start the car and move it off the side of the road. Never mind if the radiator's popped or whatever. We don't need a cooling system to move it off the road, 100 feet or 100 yards. So that's the kind of issue that we got right now. I know that BMW had a good heart when they put that in. But on the other hand, you've been with me for many years on the consulting side.
Right.
And how many times have we been involved in a car fire as a result of a collision?
A number of times,
And it has been. And you see them on TV every once in a while,
right,
where there's a car on fire and stuff. But the car on fire, oftentimes the people that are in there, especially on the I-10 corridor, they end up being trapped in the car and they die. And I'm not quite sure that that's going to help them if you're trapped in the car. Whatever. I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah.
But there is a concern from people who drive it that I don't want to, make that decision, and the policemen are saying, hey, we that's going to inhibit our ability to clear the traffic scene and inhibit our ability to keep people safe.
Yeah, because that's the first thing they want to do is get you off the road. I remember when Allison had that accident, and she was scared to death, and they policeman just said, get it off the road. She said, I can't drive it. Yes, you can. Get it off the road. And that was the biggest thing, is get it out of the way.
Didn't she have an airbag pop on that or not?
I don't think she did.
Okay.
Because she was sideswiped.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Allison's our daughter, our middle daughter.
Yes.
So that's kind of the story.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stories where people's lives have been taken or put in danger by lots of other cars. Chevrolet, Ford,
sure.
Toyota, Chrysler, Honda. They're all the same.
Yeah.
In the sense that there are good and there are bad about all of them. But that was something that was new to me and many of the other experts about this explosive device. But here's the thing. They're blowing the positive cable off, but they're still feeding the telemetrics.
That's
which
what I was
is,
going to say. How did they get the...
How did they talk on the speakers?
Exactly.
And they're keeping that circuit alive. Now, do you know about the telemetrics? Do you know what that's all about?
No.
Okay.
Idea.
Well, that's where they keep track of your car.
Okay.
And they unlock it remotely if you need to. And then if your airbags pop, then they call you and say, are you all right? Do you need help? We know exactly where you're at. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But they're also calling you up and saying, Mrs. Salem, good morning. You just passed over 30,000 miles, and it's a time for your 30,000-mile service. Now, I can make an appointment for you from the Ford dealership right around the corner, and they can take you in right now and take you home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good selling point, I guess.
Well, you know what else?
What?
They make that available to the independent repair shops, too, now.
Ooh, that's good.
So, but how many people are going to want that?
Yeah.
How many people are going to want... Now, this information, can we gather the data from our customers and sell it to their insurance companies?
Probably.
Yeah, but if they said that I only go 12,000 miles a year... And we know they're going 30,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
Should we snitch them off?
Yeah.
Is that our business?
Nope.
Okay. And then you know how certain insurance companies, they plug that thing in?
Yes.
You know? Well, they're monitoring how fast you drive, how hard you hit the throttle, how hard you hit the brakes, the speed decline, how many times you swerve to avoid. This is not anything that's beneficial to the person that's driving the car.
Yes.
Because your rates are going to be set on the data that's created by your right foot and your left foot and your steering wheel. So I don't know that kind of intrusion is going to benefit anybody except the insurance companies and the car makers.
Right.
I think this whole idea. Now, I talked to a lot of policemen, and a year ago I went to a seminar. And, you know, one of the car makers says that, you know, they can disable your car if it's stolen, and they can, and then if someone's being chased by the police, they can disable the car and all that kind of stuff. They all laughed at that because they said it took an act of God to get those people to push the button.
To actually do it, yeah.
Because you have to know who it is and who the owner is and the VIN number and who's stolen, and we're on a police report and we need it from the police, blah, 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 blah. And by the time they get it done, the chase is done.
It's
and,
done, yeah.
And all.
They don't need it anymore.
But the telemetrics is very bothersome because they even know what radio station you listen to. They know how far you drive to work. They know where you drive to work. They know where you live. They know all of this data about you from a GPS activity, or the ability to do that with GPS is what I mean to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it creates that kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see the other day in a trade magazine that I could hire that for my customers. And, of course, you're just going to plug something into their assembly line data link, their DLC data link connector, plug it in, and that's going to Wi-Fi it to the guys we hire. Then they're going to tell us, oh, by the way, Mrs. Salem is due for this.
Yeah.
Shall we tell her? Yes. And tell her we have an appointment on Thursday.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little bit more irritated with that than anything. So.
Perhaps, yeah. But it doesn't cost a whole lot of money. And it's something that that there are people that would probably embrace it.
Maybe.
But I don't want them knowing where my girlfriend lives.
I would pay for that.
So. I'm teasing you. But I think about all those other things. Are they going to snitch you off when you're drunk driving?
They could.
And that
Absolutely.
Might be something that people would embrace.
Yeah.
Certainly not the guy that's driving.
No.
Or if you're falling asleep, yeah. Then, I mean, there's all these parameters that have to do with privacy.
Right.
And so, you know, it's they can also look at, I mean, if they can listen to the car, and they can. They can listen inside the car. What about private conversations you and your husband are having? You know?
Ooh, that wouldn't be pretty sometimes.
Well, not with the bad words you use.
That's right.
When you're chewing my butt.
But don't you think your phone's doing that and a lot of other stuff is doing it?
I think your phone, being watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your phone, you're right. But they may know where we're at and where we shop and all that kind of stuff. But that hasn't had the effect that the car will.
Yeah.
You know, not yet anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
All righty. S&S Tire is on the west side. S&S Tire has a Peoria facility, a Surprise facility, and a Goodyear facility. And why is S&S on the top of my list? And I'll tell you why. First of all, a great family runs it. These boys were raised in this environment. Their father recently passed away, and the two boys have taken over the business. And they are certainly qualified because they had one of the best teachers out there. But they sell all kinds of tires, and you can stop by. They'll look at the size, and they'll give you a good, better, best, out the door, write your check before you leave home kind of tire pricing. So if you're in a lease and you're going to turn it back in and the tires are kind of bald, then you might not want the most expensive tires. On the other hand, if you're going to keep the car forever and you got 40 out of the first set, then they're going to be able to put you in a tire that's going to give you 40 out of the second set or put you back in the tire that you had at the beginning. So S&S is a great place. Now, they do alignments and suspension work. So they do all the stuff related to tire wear, but they also do oil changes and other things. So if you're on the west side, may I suggest that if you need tires that cost you nothing, stop by one of the S&S Tire locations, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear, and have them look at your car.
Nick is your next caller. Nick.
Nick, good morning to you. How can I help you?
How's it going, Mark? I've got a 2006 Chevy Colorado. Right now it's got like 608,000 on it, but this engine only has 130, but I don't know if it's the original injectors and fuel line and everything like that. But what I'm getting is when I first started up the truck in the morning, runs perfectly fine. I can drive on the freeway over to the west side, runs fine. Shut it off for half an hour or so, start it back up, and it'll misfire accelerating. But once I get on the freeway, it'll smooth out and be fine. Okay. And then the minute I stop again, it'll start doing the same thing.
All right. Here's what I'm thinking. It could be spark or fuel. I feel like you're kind of hanging your hat on the fuel side, but I would suggest that's a bad idea. Let me also tell you, I would like you to switch the question around. Mark, at 600,000 or 130,000, what kind of fuel injection problems am I likely to have with injectors and injector lines and the high-pressure fuel pump in the back? And my answer to you is injectors on gasoline motors are just so far off my radar screen that this isn't even funny. And the lines, I don't know. And how many cars do we process a year?
A lot, yeah.
That's never an issue. So I think it's possible that you have an ignition problem in the absence of a fuel problem, because a fuel problem, if there's an injector stuck open, it's going to make the catalytic converter smell like sulfur, and you would pick that up.
Okay.
If it's a miss where the injector's not opening and closing, it's going to be there a lot more than just on a hot restart or a cold restart. So I would suggest that you just have somebody look at it. Now, it could also be a vacuum leak. And it could be a vacuum leak that is going to be aggravated by the heat of the engine, or what we call a hot soak. So there's so many different things that could be happening. I wouldn't want you to start replacing injectors and fuel lines and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't want you to do that. Now, let me ask you one question. When you restart the car and you know the problem is going to be there, do you have extended cranking, or does it pop right off?
No.
Go ahead.
From first to second and third, it'll you can feel it missing.
Okay. But when you restart it before this miss, is it just a normal run, or is it run?
Run. Starts right up.
Okay. See, that eliminates fuel pressure right there. Boom. We're done with fuel pressure.
Okay. So should I swap a coil and swap it from three to four? Because it's either the second or third cylinder.
Okay. Now you throw in a whole new thing because you have coil over ignition. So the answer to your question is this could be a coil, and it could very well be a boot. And the answer would be is if you're going to do this yourself, I agree. Stay away from number one cylinder because that's the trigger point. That starts the whole count. So we don't want to mess
with minute.
So do you have a code for one of the cylinders?
Yeah, it was, 103.
Yep.
Or a 303 and then a 302 or a 102. Yeah.
Okay. So what we want to do is we want to start swapping spark plugs, coil, and boot.
Okay.
From one to the other. And start with just one. So maybe take two out and swap it with six, and take six out and swap it with two. And let's see if the problem moves. We did that on a Ford the other day, and the problem moved. So we knew it was the injector, and that made it really simple for us. But this was a fuel delivery issue, and it was a diesel, so that's different than what we're talking about. But, yes, you can't swap just the coil. You can't swap just the boot. You can't swap just the spark plug, because that's not going to help you. You'll end up swapping until you're all dead. So let's do the whole assembly, the coil, the boot, and the spark plug. Now, when you take the boot out, look for white witness marks. And I'm going to have to finish this up because I'm up against a break. So you stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
Here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We've got two lines available. Actually, got three lines available because we have two people stacked up. And I'm going to go right back to Nick real quick so I can finish up with Nick. Nick, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. When you pull out the coil, I want you to look at the boot. And what you're looking for is a pinhole that's surrounded by white dust. And that means the spark is jumping through the boot. When you take the spark plug out, I want you to look from where the metal part of the shell is. North of that is a porcelain piece, and I don't want any black lines on that porcelain piece. So on the white porcelain above the hex head of the spark plug, those are called carbon tracks. And so now, after you go with, you said that you had a cylinder 2, was that right? Cylinder 2 was one of them?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're going to go 2 to 6 and 6 to 2. And then you also said 2 and 3, was 3 the other one?
Well, it's a four-cylinder.
Okay, so you're going to go 2 to 4. And what was the other cylinder? Did you have a 3?
Yeah, 3.
Okay, so you're going to do 2 to 4 and see if it moves. And if it stays, then put 4 and 2 back to where you found them. Then you're going to take 3 and switch it to 4 and see if that changes. But at the end of the day, if you still can't swap it and get the code to move, then we have to change number 1. So you're going to use 1 and 1 coil boot and plug and swap it with 4. Keep in mind that the computer starts counting at 1. So it starts 1, 3, 2, 4, whatever the firing order is on your 4-cylinder. And when number one screws up, it screws up the whole count. So oftentimes what 2 is really not 2 and what 3 is really not 3 because number 1 is the problem. So that's the reason why I'm going to have you use 2, 3, and 4 to do your swapping. And then if still it problem doesn't move, then you're going to have to swap 1 with 4 or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yep, sure does.
All right, good luck, and thank you for holding.
Okay,
thank you. George, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I've got a 2013 Chevy Cruze, the LT version.
Okay.
And when I fill it with gas, it almost doesn't want to start, and I have to kind of almost rev it to about 2,000 RPM for a few seconds, and then it's fine and no problem until the next time I fill it up with gas, and then it does the same thing.
Okay. How many clicks are you hitting after it clicks the first time?
To start it, I just, you know, I can start it, and it'll start right up, but if you don't, like, rev it up a little bit, it'll die.
Okay, but let me be clear. It's my mistake. When you're filling it up, are you stuffing the tank, or at the first click, are you hanging the nozzle?
Hanging the nozzle.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Have you got the nozzle buried as deep into the filler neck as you can, or is it pulled out?
No, I push it in all the way.
Okay. All right. If it only happens when you're filling it up, that means that we're aspirating gasoline into the evaporative system, and that's causing it to run rich for a second or two. So what I'd like you to do, and this is part of the diagnostic process, you're going to save yourself a lot of money because this is part of what they're going to have to do at the shop. So I want you just to keep the key on, look at the gauge, and just go to 3/4 and see if it's there, and do that 2 or 3 times. Then go to 7/8. The idea is if you can walk into the repair shop and say, if I just put the nozzle in and wait till the first click and hang the nozzle, I have this problem. But if I wait and click it off myself at 7/8 or 3/4 and I never have this problem, they're going to know exactly where to look. There's a valve on the top of your tank. We're not supposed to have liquid near that valve. But if that valve is hung open, then when you fill the tank, it's going to aspirate some fuel. It's not supposed to be open until we tell it to open. So there's this emission control where we're supposed to suck the vapors off your gas tank and move them forward and reburn them again. So this emission system, and this is called evaporative system, is probably what's wrong in your car. But if you'll diagnose it that way, you've saved yourself $75, $85 worth of diagnosis by simply sending them in the right direction. And that is I have to be aspirating fuel. Now, last but not least, try this. When you start it up, and it runs bad, I want you to rev it a couple times, and I want you to notice which side of the car the tailpipe comes out of, passenger or driver. And when you know it's going to run poorly, I want you to rev the heck out of it a couple times. Wappa, wappa, like that. Look for black smoke. If you see black smoke, and then the next time you start it, you do the same thing and you don't see black smoke, then I am really right that you're running rich and you're sucking liquid fuel out of the tank. So black smoke and vary the amount of fuel in the tank by the gauge, and I think you'll save yourself some money.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. All righty, Air Park Auto is up in Scottsdale. Nadine and Stacy opened their shop about the same time Renee and I did in 1994. Both of us had been in business before. This is just the first time we borrowed lots of money to build our own shops. Stacy passed away, and Nadine now runs it. Those of you ladies who want to do business with a female-owned and operated, and I answer to no man kind of shop, then Air Park Auto up in Scottsdale is your place to go. They're on Raintree. They're east of Hayden, and of course Raintree is about 3 or 4 blocks south of Frank Lloyd Wright. So they're in the corner of Frank Lloyd Wright and the 101, kind of a south and westerly direction. Nadine and her staff are really good at doing what we all should be doing, and that is, it's getting the symptoms from the customers, diagnosing it, making the or giving the estimate, then fixing it, and then verifying that the symptom is now gone. They're good at that. They're good at oil changes and tire rotations and brake jobs as well. But when it comes to diagnosis, that's what everybody does. A lot of shops don't do the end ones where they verify the problem's gone and they wait for you to tell them, wait a minute, I just spent $300 and I still have the same problem. So S&S, or not S, I'm looking at the wrong ad. Air Park Auto Service is a great place, and they've been open since 1985. And if you live anywhere in North Scottsdale, my suggestion would be Air Park Auto, Raintree and Hayden, just east.
Linda is your next caller, Linda.
Linda, good morning to you. What's up?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking.
I have a problem I hope you can help me with, Mark.
Okay.
I had a loaded Honda SUV that was really beautiful, except the back gate wasn't automatic, and it was just killing my back to open it. So I traded it in to a Town and Country van with all automatic doors, which I'm very happy with. I'm happy to sit high. But I can't. The steering is too hard. Now I have shoulder problems, and it's hard to get in and out of. So I need your recommendation for a car, SUV-type car, that has the easiest steering around.
Yeah, Linda, I can be in this equation, but I can't, you're asking too much of me. There's probably 300 vehicles that are in the top 5% of all the cars, and I wouldn't have that information. But can I make a suggestion to you? Let's first on this. There's two different air pressures for your tires. One of them is on a door, on a tag on the door. And it's typically going to be 28 to 32. But then the tire on the side of the tire, it's going to say maximum load, maximum inflation, and that's probably going to be 35. The first thing I want you to do is have your garage or go to Discount Tire or something else, S&S Tire on the west side, and say to them, look at the maximum inflation on my tires, and you don't want to go in there with your tires hot. Try to just go from home to the place. I'd like you to put my front tires at maximum inflation. And if you don't know what that is, just tell them to put it at 35 because that's a doggone good Mark Salem guess. Then the question is how does that affect your steering? You see, if you steer with flat tires, it's hard. But if you inflate them to the maximum amount, it gets easier, substantially easier. So let's first check that. As far as entry and exit, you just have to go drive cars. You just have to stop by new car dealers, used car dealers. You have to, you know, it's a great thing to just go over to a used or to a rental car company and just say to them, this is my issue. Do you mind if I just get in and out of a couple of your vehicles? So it's and then you say, can I just drive them around the parking lot one time just to feel the power steering? I have two issues. I'm happy to. Can I rent a car for a day at $39, but let me just kind of drive your cars? I won't leave the parking lot. I just want to make some right and left turns, and I want to get in and out. But I just don't know. I don't know what to tell you with respect to ease of in and out. Yeah. And I would think, too, that the lower car would be better for you. A car that's lower to the ground, as opposed to one where the first step is, you know, 8 or 10 inches or even 12 inches off the ground, I would think you'd be better served by something a little lower. But I just can't. Now, the other thing you might do is this. Pardon me. There's two or three places here in town that build handicap vans. So you can get on the internet and just do handicap vans, Google handicap vans Phoenix. Call them up and say, what do you use for handicap vans? Because they're going to need something low to the ground, and they're going to need something with good power steering. Those are going to be two prerequisites for people who have handicaps or disabilities for those kinds of van. So if they all use a particular kind of van under those circumstances, that would be one that I would go drive. That's the best I can do, Linda. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I know you're an expert, and I really appreciate your opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you very much. When we talk about diagnostic people, I can't leave out Larry Harker's Auto at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Bob there, Ellen is his wife. She handles the front counter, and Bob runs the shop. And actually, Ellen runs Bob, but don't say anything about that to Bob. Bob is a great diagnostician. He's the kind of guy that you can wave the red flag in front of him. So if you go in there and you talk to Bob, you can say to him, no one in town has been able to fix this. But you don't want to say to him that, I want you to fix it for free so I can go back and get my money from the rest of these people. You're going to have to pay him to fix it. But saying that really, really gets those of us that say that we're good diagnosticians, that really throws the gauntlet down, so to speak.
So 1 minute.
I've seen Bob pull rabbits out of his hat. I've seen Bob diagnose things that I sent to him because I wasn't sure we could. So if you have one of those cars, then 38th Avenue and Indian School is the place I'd go. If you live in the area of 38th Avenue and Indian School, it's important to know that Larry Harker's Autos has been around for a very long time, since 1967, so it's not like they were born yesterday. And it's not like Bob was born yesterday. As a matter of fact, he's got a full head of gray hair. So he's pretty good at what he does. Trust me when I tell you that. He's a good guy. That's Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. All righty, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. We have five of them, 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and for the rest of this half an hour, actually 40 minutes, we're here answering car questions. If you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. We have a list of the best car repair shops, and it's been around since 1988. I'm the creator of that referral network, and frankly, everyone else is after me. So every referral network that you see out there came after me. I was the first. The reason I put that together was that was the one most common question we had back in 1988 is where is your shop? Yep. And I couldn't possibly provide service to everybody. So my mother, who's passed away since then, was an executive secretary for very large companies. And she called me one day and she said to me, "You sound like crap. You're thumping your chest too much. You need to start referring people to the shop closest by them, and you need to find out who that shop is." That's what my mom said.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so I start doing that, and I created the best car repair shops list. Why is that important today? I'll tell you why. I want you to double-check the list every once in a while because there's been some movement on the list. For instance, IMM Imports in the northeast part of Tempe recently sold. Now, he sold to his number one tech. But here's the problem. When I was first in business, Renee and I were first in business, Mark made lots of mistakes the first 5 years.
Sure.
I chased people off when I shouldn't have.
I'm glad you finally admit that. But yeah.
Be quiet. Let me finish my confession.
Okay.
Mother Teresa. So I chased people off when I shouldn't have. I argued with customers when I shouldn't have. I just did a lot of things that, as I got older, I learned. Now, that doesn't mean I still don't toss a customer once a year just because I don't want them anymore. But that means that I've learned a lot. So IMM is still a good shop, but he's not on our list anymore because they need 5 years of experience. That's a hard, fast rule that I'm not willing to deviate from. So IMM is gone. Envision Auto Body had two shops, one in Chandler and one in Mesa, East Mesa, I think.
Yeah.
And they were one of the best body shops that I referred to. And they just recently sold to a chain. And, of course, we don't do chains, so they're not going to be. And they've changed their name. So,
yes. Yeah.
So that means you're not going to find them anymore. But we are trying to work around that.
Yeah.
And the common denominator is a young man who ran one of those on behalf of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to him some more to see if we can work around
that.
See
if they're still the same people there and all that kind of stuff.
We need continuity when we have a change.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a need for body shops because we have two body shops that we refer to, but both are north of Camelback.
Yeah.
So we would really like a southeastern and maybe a southwestern quadrant of Phoenix. So if you know a good body shop, we would like them to apply at marksalem.com. So apply to be on our list, but they have to have 5 years of continuous management, and the owner has to be on site.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have a Clean Better Business Bureau record, and they have to agree to some dispute resolution procedures. Now, here's the good news and here's the bad news. I say on my website that if you have a problem with one of my shops, and the Better Business Bureau says to the shop to give back the customer money or to refund money or to fix the car and the shop refuses, Mark Salem and Renee Salem will accommodate those goals up to $5,000. That's my promise. Just recently, we had to remove a shop, and it looks like Mark's going to pay for the first time ever. It was an ugly complaint. It went through the Better Business Bureau. Then it went through the Auto Advisory Committee, and the Auto Advisory Committee voted that the shop should give back a significant amount of money. Actually, it's over $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're waiting for the shop to decide. But meanwhile, he's still on
you know, he's still on suspension, so to speak.
Right.
We're waiting for him. But if he doesn't, we're going to stand up and do it. Now, I think it's like $5,500. I'm not quite sure. We're not real sure.
Okay.
If it's $5,500, we're going to do the other $500. It's not because we're rich. It's because that's the right thing to do. But our limit is five.
Right.
So just because we bent it that rule once doesn't mean we're going to bend it again. But so that's the kind of the good and the bad about it. The bad is that sometimes you might be the person that finds out one of my shops is bad. The other good news is that I got your back.
Yeah.
So I got your back, and I'll make sure that it's right. Now, if the shop won't fix your car, I will. If the shop won't give them a refund, I will. If the car needs to be fixed and it has to go somewhere else, I'll pay the bill up to $5,000. That's all there is to it. You have to understand, we've never paid that before.
Right.
Because we're so proud of our list of shop owners, they just don't go there.
Right.
Everybody knows, you know, us shop owners, us gray-haired guys, we know when it's our fault. We know.
And usually we admit to it before it goes anywhere anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example. I'll wash some laundry right in front of you. Not too long ago, the parts department, we have the most fabulous parts department in the world, but one of the parts guys walks outside. And he has two oil filters. And he has two Toyotas in side-by-side bays. He gives the wrong oil filter to each one of them. But it still works. It screws on. So Mrs. Jones, who drives one of these older cars, a pristine car,
yeah,
by the way. Pristine.
Was.
She drives down the road, and she doesn't quite catch the red light before the motor throws in the towel and goes to motor heaven. So we tow it back, and we know this is ours. So the first thing I tried to do is buy the car. And she had some kind of emotional attachment to the car. So we put a brand new motor in.
Yeah, we did.
We put a brand new motor in it, in spite of the fact it might have 60, 70,000 miles on it.
Right.
We put a brand new motor. And we gave her the keys, and we told her we're sorry. So, and that we're not the only ones in towns that does that. We've got lots of shops that do that. But my shop is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. One of my high school buddies brought his car in one time. This was years ago. And we didn't tighten up the lug nuts. And as he drove away, he didn't get three blocks away. The tire came off. It sailed across a couple lanes of traffic, hit another car, and ended up whatever. And the car that he was driving was torn up pretty good, too. And we paid for all of that, and we apologized like crazy. He was really nice to us.
Mm-hmm.
He just says, but he was in business for himself.
2 minutes.
Sure.
And I'm sure he had walked in my shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
And his insurance company got involved, and so did mine, about the car, the tire hitting another car.
Yeah.
So those are kind of things that we want to tell you.
Gina,
about.
Is your next caller?
Well,
Gina.
And that's why we want to make sure that they've been in business for a while and all that too, so that you don't have to pay the $5,000 on somebody that you haven't had experience with.
And we don't want to put them in front of somebody that
right.
they're likely to have a bad experience with because they don't have the experience that
right.
we're demanding.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of demanding, Strictly Diesel is a great place. It's a Better Business Bureau. A-plus rated. They have staff that's the best techs in the diesel business. They're dedicated to providing the best service possible while getting the job done right the first time. At Strictly Diesel, they are die-hard diesel service, repair, and parts, and they work on foreign domestic light diesel trucks. They're at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road in North Scottsdale. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and they sell parts online 24 hours a day. So you can get more information on my best car repair shops list under the diesel setting at marksalem.com, marksalem.com. So Strictly has been a good partner for us for a long time. Nate is a tall, good-looking guy that has hands the size of tennis rackets. But he's the kindest man you've ever met in your life. And he has a really firm handshake. He makes me cry a lot of times. So, but anyway, Nate at Strictly Diesel, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, 602-508-0960. Gil, who's waiting?
Gina.
Gina, you stay right there because I only have 10 seconds before the end of the segment, and I'm going to pick you up just right on the other side. 602-508-0960. Gina, hang tight. You're my first caller. My name's Mark Salem. Renee, my wife's sitting here next to me, and we'll be back right after this. Let me push that button right there, and that'll put us in My name is Mark Salem. Sitting here next to me is my wife, Renee, and we're picking car questions, 602-508-0960. Gina, as I promised, you're up first. How can I help you?
Hi, thank you very much. Love your show.
Thank you.
Okay, it's an 89 Chevy Blazer, and what it's doing is it seems like it's out of gas. It's just not, my push the pedal down, it takes a little while to get high, and it just feels like it's chugging. It's just an age thing or something. I mean, when it all started to happen was about 3 months ago when I went on vacation for 10 days and I let it sit. And then that's when it started just giving me that, It's just like, it's scary. But is it just age? Because this is what I had done. Spark plugs, the fuel pump's only 5 years old, and it starts right up, and it doesn't stall. And that gas, the new gas cap, I mean, it's just like, okay. Is it just an age thing? It's my imagination.
Okay. I'm not quite sure I'm in the same comfort zone as you appear to be with respect to a five-year-old fuel pump. I don't want you to think that that's going to automatically eliminate the fuel pump from our focus. But here's how you can help yourself. I want you to run the tank from three-quarters up to full for a couple of days. I want to know if that helps anything. Okay, so The fuel pump is inside the tank, and it's cooled and lubricated by the gas in the tank. So by making you run three-quarters to full all the time, I'm making sure that that fuel pump is submerged and it's properly cooled and lubricated by the gas. If there's a slight difference, and then I'm going to have you go from a quarter to half, and then all of a sudden you say, okay, there's a difference between hanging out at a quarter and hanging out at three-quarters. There's a difference in how it runs and when it runs bad, then we've got a fuel. Now, the next thing you do is just hook up a fuel pressure gauge and go drive the thing, and that'll tell you whether the fuel pressure is within spec. The second thing is this 89, just put it on an old-fashioned engine analyzer and just look at the spark plugs and the spark plug wires and stuff like that. One of the things that you can do is when it acts up, when it starts up and acts up, if it's at night, if you open up the hood and just kind of walk around it and look at the dark engine underneath the hood in the nighttime, I'm looking for an errant spark. And it will sound like a snap, 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 but at night you can actually see that. So I would be looking for an engine misfire, and I would look at the ignition system first, which is cap, rotor, spark plugs, and, of course, spark plugs and wires is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So, as far as a diagnostic, does it happen every day, or does it only happen once every 3 days?
It happens every day, mostly when I'm driving home at night. I only get up to 45 because I live in a residential area. I only drive like 4 miles to work. So, it seems to happen most when I'm driving home at night.
Okay. Do you have a garage that you patronize?
Yeah, Dave's.
Okay. Is there any possible way that you could drop it off and ask Dave to take it home some night and bring it back in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I would do, because we do that.
Mm-hmm.
We do that for our customers. So you have to describe to him exactly what to do and have him drive it. And then that way he'll have a feeling. And if you can describe how to make it happen and what to do to make it happen, then you save yourself a lot of money. And most of the time, if it's the owner or the shop tech, the lead shop tech, we don't really charge you for the time. We're going to use your car to get our lead tech home and back. I have one kid that lives, 50 miles away?
At least, yeah.
And we use him all the time.
Yeah.
and so, you know, I just say, hey, Eddie, I got a ride for you home. And he always laughs and he goes, what happens if it breaks down? And I said, well, you tell me what part you need and I'll bring it to you. And
yeah.
He just laughs.
2 minutes.
But we don't give him those cards that die and don't start back up.
No.
But we give him the ones that have the symptoms that you describe, which is an intermittent miss or an intermittent hesitation.
Yeah.
Now, your hesitation could also be a throttle position sensor or an idle air control motor. Those are both things that are pretty easy to test as long as you're well-skilled in that particular fuel injection system. So if you have a bad do you ever wash the engine in that, Gina?
Sort of. I think I slowed the engine one time when I tried to hose it down.
Okay. Because the throttle position sensor will take a beat in about 50% of the time if you're going to pressure wash it at a self-serve car wash.
Yeah.
That's the reason I ask you about that. So,
is it gum out or something that they use?
No, it's just water pressure is what does it. water pressure. So anyway, yeah, I take it to Dave and ask him if he'd take it home for you a night or two and see what happens. Okay?
Okay, thanks. Right.
Thank you very much. Action Auto is in North Phoenix. He's off I-17 in Deer Valley. The guy that owns it is Tom. I've known him since 1979. Action Auto's has been around since 1983. Tom and his staff are well known for quality workmanship, excellent customer service, fast turnaround time, and not going over their estimates. So if they say that the estimate's going to be $300, it will not be $330. It won't be $305. It's going to be less than $300. Tom at Action Auto Repairs on located I-17 in Deer Valley, northwest corner. If you live in the Deer Valley, North Phoenix area, and you haven't got a good shop, may I suggest you try Tom at Action Auto. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a long time, and I wouldn't send you to anybody else because for some self-benefit, the fact of the matter is he makes me proud. So, Tom at Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley. The lines are, Fred, you stay right there. I'm going to get you next, and we have four lines open, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem here at your service, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Fred, you're up first, buddy. How can I help you?
Just have a quick question. Can you give me your opinion or your comments on aftermarket insurance for auto maintenance? When the dealer warranty runs out?
Yeah. Bluntly, my opinion is that is very, very, very beneficial to the insurance writer. And it is, you have a 1 out of 10 chance of, 1 out of 100 chance of winning that financial transaction.
Okay.
I'll give you a couple examples. Number one, they argue with us in the repair side every day of our lives. They want to send us cheap parts. They want to tie up our rack for 2 or 3 days. And you have to have a car, and they're not going to give you one. The other day we had a lady that had a radiator go bad. We called her aftermarket company, and they said this: we're not going to authorize the repair because she didn't have her transmission serviced at the appropriate time. So the question is, begs to be answered is, what the heck does the radiator have to do with the transmission? The answer was, well, the transmission sends fluid through the radiator to cool it. That's fine. The tranny cooler's on the passenger side of the radiator, and I've got the driver's side of the radiator tank blown off. So, hey, Mr. Genius, why don't you tell me how the transmission on the passenger side of the radiator has anything to do with the driver's tank? I'm sorry, Mr. Salem, we're not going to cover that. This is crazy. This is, and I'll tell you something else. We had a car, and I could give you 100 examples. Let me ask you a question. What's this difference between a seal and an O-ring? You know?
Do I?
Yeah.
An O-ring is rubber, and a seal is other material.
Nope. They're both rubber.
Nope. Then I don't know.
Okay, no problem. I'm not trying to embarrass you. The seal keeps two things separate, okay? The seal in the water pump keeps the water away from the oil. And the seal at the crankshaft keeps the oil from leaking out of the back of the crankshaft or the front of the crankshaft. But an O-ring and a seal are the same thing. But they'll write down O-ring. Well, there's only O-rings in your air conditioning. And there's very little O-rings in your engine. So they say, we cover O-rings. Well, so what? I want you to cover seals. So this is a constant battle. Let me ask you this. How much is the annual premium or the monthly premium for what you're looking at?
Well, I'm not looking at it. I've heard it advertised. I've had experience with the same type of thing for home maintenance, and I don't like it. And I'm just assuming that this is the same thing.
It is. You have to ask yourself this. Fred, if this was a good deal for you, would they be in business? You know what I'm saying? There's a profit center here. Then, second of all, I had this conversation with a lady the other day. She's in the lobby, and she's complaining. She has an Escalade, and her husband were there, and she was really upset because of all the money she spent. And she says, I'm going to buy an aftermarket warranty. And I said, okay, so what is it? She says, it's like $2,000 a year. And I said, okay, I'll take that deal. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, divide 2,000 by 12. What is that? Do a 2,000 by 12 on your calculator
on
the phone.
Yeah, okay. All right? Hold on. I got to find it.
And I said, I'll take that deal. Because you pay me, and I'll handle all your breakdown. I'm not going to handle your normal maintenance, but I'll do the same contract you have. And she says, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. I'll do that. I'll do it. I'll just get the contract, and you and I will sign it, and I'll be the guy. What is it?
I don't know. I can't even find your calculator, and I can't add today because I'm tired.
I know, and I'm tired too. But at the end of the day, here's what happened. I went and looked up, and from the day she started doing business until that day, which was 6 or 7 years, and that's $166 a month, I said to her, if you're going to give me $166 a month, I'll take care of all your breakdowns. But in reality, in the last, 6 years or 7 years, mm-hmm. we had history. She had spent $63 a month with us. Take all of her, and that includes maintenance, all of her bills together were $63 a month. So I said to her, why don't you just put $166 in the bank, and you'll make $2,000 at the end of a year, and I'm pretty doggone sure you can pay for anything you want. Now, there's a transmission issue that exceeds that, and a major meltdown of your air conditioning system is going to eat that money up. But you're not going to use all $2,000 a year, so you'll have a buildup of money. So when the $4,000 tranny goes to tranny heaven, you're going to have the money. So you hit a hot button with me, as you can tell. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, it aggravates me to death because they're interested in their pocketbook and they could care less about the customer. And there's times I fight for the customer and I lose a lot more than I ever win. So I tell my customers, don't do that. All righty. I appreciate your question. That was a good one. It just wadded up my panties a lot.
Oh, there you go, panties again. I thought they were silk boxers or whatever. That's what you said today, this morning. Oh, that was on a different show.
That was on a different show. So knock it off.
Okay.
Kurt's Auto is up at I-17 in Bell. He's in the northeast corner. And you hear me talk about Kurt's because he's good. Why is Kurt's good? Well, first of all, his wife works there, and she takes homemade bakery goods to your house sometime after you use them for the first time. That's from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s in our gas station years. We did that. So Kurt's wife is going to knock on your door and bring something the first time you do business with them.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. Kurt has two guys that work for him. I don't know. I think they're related. I'm not quite sure. But Eric and Jeff, they are the sharpest kids in the world. And I call them kids. But they are really good at what they do. And they have made Mark and Renee Salem look like heroes 100% of the time. Because we'll refer to them because they live, someone who lives near I-17 and Bell. And the kids will pull it out of their ear.
Yeah.
They'll fix the car. And it makes the customer happy. And the customer will let me know they're happy. And then I let Eric and Jeff know that they probably had Kurt help them. And Kurt's a master, Jeff's a master, and Eric's a master technician. So that means we're all ASC certified master technicians. So if you live near I-17 and Bell, then Kurt's is a great place to go. All righty. We've got Fred that's by. Gina's got a running engine rough. And Fred was aftermarket warranties. This is just taking care of some work while you guys call in. 602-508-0960. We can get one or more call in. 602-508-0960. But you can also send me an email, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. Please leave me a phone number. And no, I'm going to call you back on a blocked cell phone for obvious reasons. But oftentimes you'll tell me about the problem, but I've got questions. Because, see, diagnostics is you say something, I say something. You say something, I ask a question. You answer the question. So it's kind of a give and take thing. And frankly, I have the biggest, fattest fingers you've ever seen in your life. And when I start typing, you can't make heads or tails out of what I'm saying because I never hit the right key. I hate to type, but I like to talk. So if you'll just leave me your number.
I can vouch for that. They probably couldn't tell either.
Well, that's my job.
Yeah.
That's my job is to talk.
Yeah.
The idea is that we should have that dialogue. And sometimes I need to have that. Now, if you ask me a simple question, I can answer you back on the email.
And like, you talk. Sorry.
Goodbye. You're done. Oh, I can't hear you anymore. What happened? Oh, what happened there? I'll be darned. Nevertheless, my email address again is mark@marksalem.com. Let me also tell you that at 9 to 10 every Saturday, Renee and I have started a new show called Swap Shop Phoenix. If you own an antique store, a Goodwill kind of store, if you own a business that sells anything used, if you own a pawn shop, if you own or operate or work at a place that fits with Swap Shop Phoenix, where people call in and they sell stuff, then if you want to advertise, you can. But we're kind of closing that up. We're not going to take car stuff.
Right.
We're not going to take car advertisers, at least not now. But we're looking for people that want to advertise. It's really insignificant dollars. The bottom line is that you're going to get either a brought to you by, which is 15 seconds. It's supposed to be 15 seconds, but I'm long-winded, so they're usually a minute. Or we'll give you a minute, which means they're a minute and a half. So if you want, mark@marksalem.com. We're going to pay for it. Yeah. I mean, we're going to pay for the show. But obviously, if we can offset some of the costs associated with that, then we'd like to do that. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for donations. We're looking for businesses. And we're going to come out to your business so that we can talk intelligently about where you're at and what you sell and what kind of a person you are. So that's kind of what we're kind of old-fashioned about that. We want
Dave
to
is your next caller,
say,
Dave.
Say who you are and that we've met you and shook your hand. Dave, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi. Got a question. What can I use to clean out old brake lines? Let me tell you what I'm doing. The master cylinder's been off for about 10 years. I'm replacing calipers and pads and rotors and everything else. I'm rebuilding a car.
Okay.
What do I do to clean out brake lines?
Okay, I'd use compressed air. And I would blow them out as good as I could. And then I would take, you know, those pump-up tanks that we use to spray insecticides. What are those called? Pressurized? I would put some brake fluid in it. And then I would just take the end off of the wand, and I'd stick the wand in the line, and then I would pump brake fluid through the line until it came out the other end nice and clear. Then I'd put some rubber caps over both ends of the line, and I knowing full well it still has fluid in it, and then I would finish the brickwork I was doing.
Okay. Next question. What about gas lines?
You can do the same thing. You can just use one of those pressure Hudson. I think they're called Hudson
sprayers. Or something, yeah,
and you can buy those really cheap. But I'd flush that out with some alcohol for the water value, because alcohol absorbs its weight in water. So I'd flush them out there, but I'd put new rubber lines on, and I'd make sure that if I have a filter back by the tank, I'd put one up further close to the engine as well. Is it a carbureted engine or fuel injected?
Fuel injection.
Okay, then you have one fuel filter. I would write the mileage on the fuel filter with a black magic marker, and I would replace the fuel filter every 1,000 miles for the first three.
Okay.
That's how I would handle it.
What about the gas tank? Is it worthwhile to pull that? And, you know, I see all these things where these guys want to clean them and recoat them and all, and I'm thinking, do you really have to do that?
You can't determine it till you pull it down, take the top of it off, and look inside. There's a lot of times we just pour a gallon of carb cleaner in those and just swish them around, and then we put the carburetor cleaner with our waste oil. There's times we take them to a car wash, we empty them of gasoline, and appropriately and environmentally put that where it belongs. But we own a self-service car wash right next door, so we'll just take it next door and clean it out. With the high pressure wand.
Okay. Not the brush.
Yeah. Not the brush. Thank you very much.
Very well. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dave. You're welcome. Dave or Dale. I can't tell my V's from my L's.
Can't read your writing.
I can't
either,
even
right?
read my own writing. Nevertheless.
Nevertheless. You keep saying that. What does that mean?
You know what? I'm going to start. You know, I'm going to do a
I
lawyer's
list. I meant to
ask
you that before. Nevertheless.
I'm going to start a new list of the best car repair shops. I'm going to get the best lawyers in town.
Okay. We'll see how that works for you.
Don't you think that I know the good ones?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I've worked for a lot of them, and I've worked for some bad ones. And yes. I've worked for some really good guys. I've been thinking about that.
Okay.
But more important than that is I'm looking for somebody that's really good in divorce so that so that when you finally get on my last nerve.
I'm not there yet? Darn.
We've been married 44 years come February.
Yes.
And when you get on my last nerve,
okay,
then I'm gonna give all the divorce attorneys in town a $20 bill.
You told me you already did that. So.
I have. I'm going to do it again.
Oh, okay.
And then when you go to hire a divorce attorney, they're all going to say, I'm already working for your husband.
Okay.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm real scared.
I'm glad you're scared. You need to be scared.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, my email address is mark@marksalem.com. Don't try to take her side in an email because I'm not even going to pay attention to that. I've put up with her for 44 years, and I'm going to turn off her microphone right now. So you have to have you have to feel sorry for me. Yeah, her microphone's off. Anyway, I'll see you next Saturday at 9 o'clock because Swap Shop is at 9, Cars at 10.